Welcome to the Dr. Shoup Show, presented by Microscope Dentistry by Shoup, where we say no to crowns and yes to long-lasting dental health. We avoid highly invasive procedures that completely destroy your teeth. We use ultra-high magnification microscopes to see what other dentists cannot see. And we accomplish procedures other dentists cannot execute. Plus, during this Corona Culture Society, our office remains open and our team is here to serve you for essential preventive treatments that will save you money in the long term, and for any emergency treatments you may need right now. Help Dr. Shoup keep his full team working, and we'll make sure your mouth and whole body health is secure. We're online at ddsradio.com. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, hello, everybody. It is great to have you here. Thank you very, very much for deciding to spend an hour with me. This is where you go to become smarter, better educated, better informed, certainly ahead of the curve of anybody and everybody else who is pontificating about all the stuff's going on. You don't need to go into all the internet and find all of the vicious rumors and supposition and incorrect information. Come here. You'll learn medical, dental, health, wellness, nutrition. We're going to continue on with our coronavirus updates for you. This is where you want to be. This is the information you need to know. You all know how this works. We start in Dental School 101, and I'm going to specifically address the coronavirus testing. Everybody, you can't listen to the news unless everybody is hooping and hollering about the states, about the federal government, about testing. We have to have testing. I'm going to explain to you very, very detailed and accurate. You might need pencil and paper. What is this testing they're talking about? What kind of tests are there? Who's doing the testing? How much does it cost? And how accurate is it? You'll know everything at the end of Dental School 101. Then we move into Ask the Expert. And I promised you last week I will continue to give you the coronavirus updates, but then we're going to move into what you need in your home as your ready-to-go kit for the next pandemic. So I'm going to detail exactly what you need for your in-home personal pandemic emergency kit. And you get to meet my good buddy Mark. I tell you what, he was talking to some friends about dentistry in general. And guess what? Whose name pops up in the conversation? Yours truly. He dutifully went online. He looked at the website. He checked everything out. And he has the most terrific, horrible orthodontics from hell story you will ever hear. And he's going to tell you the story himself. But first, I got a question. If you were blind, would you be willing to give up a patch of your skin in order to see again? Is this science fiction or reality? I'm going to tell you right now.
Time to go under the microscope.
Yeah, look, I need you to get me on the national news pronto.
Well, absolutely, positively, sight for me is certainly the A number one most important sense that I have. And yes, I'd give up almost anything, pretty much anything, in order to be able to see. A patch of skin, you bet. Let's go back, though, and go back into high school anatomy class. And you know, back in the back of your eye, the thing that actually registers the impulses for your vision is called the retina. The retina consists of two different kinds of cells, rods, which are the black and white, light and dark sensors, and then cones, which are the color sensors. We're going to be specifically talking about the rods, the black and white, light and dark sensors. Listen to this. Researchers have discovered a technique for directly reprogramming skin cells into light-sensing rod photoreceptors, which are used for vision in your retina. So they're taking skin cells, making a little magic, and turning them into rods in the back of your eye. This is from the work is funded by the National Eye Institute. It was published in April 15th of this year in the journal Nature, and it's part of the National Institute of Health. Here's what they say. This is the first study to show that direct chemical reprogramming can produce retinal-like cells, which give us a new and faster strategy for developing therapies for age-related macular degeneration and other retinal disorders caused by the loss of these photoreceptors. How many of you have, know friends that have, somebody that has macular degeneration? It is a huge disease problem, robbing people of their sight. It has been historic for us that we have to go find stem cells, embryonic stem cells, and we all know the controversy around that. These researchers have come up with a better mousetrap. Dr. Swarup, who's a PhD senior investigator at the NEI Neurobiology Neurodegeneration and Repair Laboratory, characterized the reprogramming rod photo Scepter Russell gene expression analysis as absolutely amazing. Here's what they say. Of immediate benefit will be the ability to quickly develop disease models so we can study the mechanism of the disease and then develop new strategies by which to replace the cells. Our technique goes directly from skin cells to photoreceptors without the need for stem cells in between. This was all done, this work was all done at TCU, Texas Christian University. The researchers transplanted these cells into mice who had been purposefully blinded, and the retinal cells regenerated into rods that could distinguish light and dark in 43% of the animals within a month. This is really amazingly fast. Even mice with severely advanced retinal degeneration, with little chance of having living photoreceptors remaining, responded to the transplantation. Such findings give us massive amounts of improvement over the laboratory-made photoreceptors, which were not nearly as successful. So, on the horizon, it's in testing now, but it looks really good. You can take your skin cells. They literally wash your skin cells through a series of about 5 chemical baths. They then transform these skin cells into prototype photoreceptors. They implant these cells into your degenerated macular degeneration retina, and these cells grow and become rod photoreceptors that allows you to see in black and white as opposed to nothing. Isn't that absolutely amazing? Isn't science cool? Don't you love this stuff? I do too. Now, up next, everybody wants to get tested for the corona. I'm going to tell you what it's about, how it does, how accurate it is, all the details right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. The Dr. Shoup Show takes a stand for all dental and medical consumers week in and week out, especially during Corona-geddon.
Because I watched this movie called Liar Liar, and the message was don't lie. And that was a smart movie.
It's time to focus on the truth of the coronavirus and what you really need to know amidst the news media chaos. Here's your truth ambassador, Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, you all know that it is a thrill and a pleasure to have you here with me. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. And I'm going to dissect down for you all of this whole business about coronavirus testing. So here we go. It's going to get a little technical, but this is the beautiful part about it. I know you guys can handle it. That's why you listen to this stuff. All right. First off, there is no test right now that is absolutely positively specific for what we originally started calling the N-coronavirus 19, the novel, the unique coronavirus. It is different than SARS or MERS or anything else. What we have on the shelf, what we have right now are leftover SARS tests from the SARS outbreak in 2006-2007. And the coronavirus is indeed part of the whole family of coronaviruses, so a lot of things have spillover. We look for, in these tests, specific pieces of the virus that let us know that this is specifically what we're looking for. So here's where we are with the testing. The CDC started the original testing of the coronavirus, okay? Then they empowered laboratories in all 50 states. There are 91 public health laboratories who have passed the qualification exam by the CDC to be licensed for doing these coronavirus tests. There was a period of time the CDC was double checking all of the tests that were done. The outlying approved public health labs would send their stuff back to the CDC for double checking. They're not doing that anymore. So all these labs are generating their own tests and testing and then giving the results of the test. It's limited right now due to the amount of supplies. The United States got caught way, way behind on everybody else by shuffling our feet and not being prepared. All the other countries literally around the world were prepared to do the testing. A few weren't. Italy and Spain and the United States. But here's the statistics. The U.S. has administered around 314 tests per million people in the United States. The same figure of the United Kingdom is 960 tests per million people that live in Great Britain. Great Britain has tested three times. In Germany, it's around 2,000 tests per million people. South Korea has tested 6,000 people per million with their tests. South Korea virtually didn't shut down the country, didn't close the schools, didn't do anything, and they basically are over their curve with a lot less of a bump. United States, all these other countries, 960, 2,000, 6,148, the U.S., 300. That's an embarrassment for the U.S. We are the most sophisticated, the richest, the most, we have the most manpower, we have the most capability and ability, and to be caught flat-footed when this virus was coming out of China is absolutely stunningly embarrassing for the United States. Don't let me go off on a rant. I got important things to tell you. Okay. So, really limited because we don't have enough supplies. We don't have cotton swabs. We don't have reagents. We don't have the capacity, the manpower to crank these things through the machinery. There are two kinds of tests, all right? There's a molecular test, and that is if you're looking for active infection. You need to try to find the viruses themselves, okay? And they're usually done with a swab, and the swab has to go way, way, way back in the back of your throat. This is a respiratory virus. It inhabits the respiratory areas. If you do it out in the front of your nose, you're just going to get boogers. But you have to go way back. If you go way back in the back of your throat, you'll get a bunch of saliva. It is very specific. There are people like the Gates Foundation that are working on home tests. There's a bunch of people working on stuff. None of it. Do not buy anything about testing yourself for SARS or COVID on the internet. It's all bogus. It's a sham. It's false. It's fake. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care what sort of names they have. You have to go to your physician, and he will then give you a script to get you tested. It's the only places on the planet right now that you can have this done. Do not buy anything off of the internet. Right now, what they do is they take these swabs and collect up all the goo that's back there. They put it into a sealed container. They take it to the lab. They use a reagent to put all of it in a liquid suspension, and then they chop it all up. Whatever's in there, they chop it up. And then they look for two particular gene sequences that are part of the virus. If they find that, you test positive. If they don't find that, you test negative. If they only find one of the two genes, you're considered negative, not positive. The more genes you test for, the more accurate the test. So we don't know anything. Nobody has had any conversation about the accuracy, the sensitivity of these tests. They don't publish it. They're not talking about it. My contention is we're going to find out these tests are highly, highly inaccurate, giving us false positives and giving us false negatives. If they were proud of the results, they'd tell us. They're not telling us. That tells me they don't want you to know. It's like the flu vaccine, 45% effective. They don't make a big deal out of that, but they sure tell you you need to get your flu vaccine, right? Right. Okay. The second kind of test is a serology test, a blood test. It is has to have a blood draw or at least a finger stick. You got to get your finger poked, and then you drip blood either on a slide or down into a container or up into a pipette. It requires you to give up some blood. The first test, the molecular test, only requires you to give up a little bit of space in the back of your throat to run a swab up and down, okay? The serology test does not tell you if you have the virus. It tells you if you had, past tense, had the virus. The molecular test tells you if you have it. The serology test tells you if you have had it. All right? It finds antibodies in your blood, specifically in the clear part of your blood, the serum part of your blood. So they draw the blood, they spin it in a little centrifuge, the red blood cells will drop to the bottom, they're heavier. The clear part will come to the top, and that's the part that has the immunoglobulins in it. The virus is acting as an antigen, an antibody generator, antibody generator. Your body then produces antibodies against that. The serum test does not exist right now. Don't let anybody talk you into a serum test. It does not exist. Everybody is working frantically on it. But nobody has got it. It's coming. It's going to tell us eventually who all has been exposed to it and who has hopefully developed some degree of quote-unquote immunity to it the next time around. Okay. Every time anybody talks to me about developing a test, a body test that's fast, quick, and easy, that to me has a great big equal sign after it to inaccurate. If anybody says, hey, I got a fast test, I got an accurate, I got a quick test, I got an easy test to test something like this, you just know that that thing's not worth a hill of beans. It's worthless. Do not do it. Everybody is working on this stuff, but nobody has it down yet. Okay. right now, currently, in the success rate of our testing, when they test the sickest of the sick, okay? Those are the only people that are getting the molecular test right now because our supplies are so low and our capability is so low. Only the sickest of the sick. Right now, we get a positive response rate of about 18%. That means that 82% of the people that they test negative for the coronavirus. Now, whether that is A, they're just sick and they don't have it, or B, they're sick with the coronavirus, but the tests aren't accurate enough to tell them that they've got the coronavirus. So they just say, no, you don't. You got something else. We don't know. That's the problem. None of these tests are accurate enough right now to really hang your hat on it. But they are good enough at this juncture. If we had enough of them, like South Korea, that's what they did. South Korea started testing people straight up. And if you had any inkling that you had coronavirus, then you went into a self-quarantine state. They didn't shut down their country. And that's what happened in Australia. That's what's happened in Sweden. That's what's happened in Norway. All of these things are, these countries are still open and functioning, and their curve is lower than the United States' curve. So think about pregnancy tests. Think about how long it took us years to develop a reliable pregnancy test. In order to find out if you were pregnant, they used to draw your blood and inject it into a rabbit. They had rabbits at every hospital. And if the rabbit died, there are all kinds of jokes about the rabbit dying I had my blood drawn in test, but the rabbit just went into kind of a coma. We're not really sure what that means. The rabbit would have a reaction to the protein hormones that pregnant women generate. It took us years to develop something as simple as a pregnancy test. Today, they're very reliable. And they're looking at the exact same molecule, gigantic, big, honking pregnancy molecule in women, which is exactly the same no matter who you are, where you are. They're looking for the same thing. It took us years to develop it. We're now looking for a teeny, teeny, tiny little virus, and we're only looking for parts of it, and we're looking at a virus that mutates and changes all the time. Do you think in your right mind they're ever going to get something as quick and easy, a test that's going to be worth a darn a year later? No, not at all. So don't hang your hat on it. It's going to have to be something that really comes along, and it's going to take time for us to have anything accurate. So there you have. Now you know the test. The tests right now are costing people $35 to $52 per test. So if you want to go get tested, it'll probably cost you around $35 to $52 to get a coronavirus test. There you have it. Now up next, your home pandemic kit, what you need to have and what you honestly don't want to have, right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. The Dr. Shoup Show doesn't just talk the talk. Your host lives the life just as he suggests every week over the microphone. Schedule your first sit-down with Dr. Shoup right now so you can say no to crowns and other unneeded repeated dental procedures while saying yes to healthier living. Call our Andy office at 317-776-1100 and see all our resources at ddsradio.com. Now, here's your host, Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, it's so good to have you here. Thank you very, very much. And we have so much ground to cover. I'm going to jump right in. I promise to give you the corona update every time we get together. Indiana, so far, 11,686 positive corona tests. We have, to refresh your memory, 6,745,354. That's 0.17% of the population tested positive. 0.17% of the population has this illness, and we've shut down the state. Mull that one over for a minute. We've had 569 deaths. That's a death rate of 4.8%. This is a nasty virus, without question. And it is a tragedy for every life that is lost, without question. I'm not minimizing that at all. But what you have to understand is there are other ways of mitigating this and controlling it other than the way we're doing it. Right now, we've tested 64,000 people in the state. We have an 18% positive on the testing, which means we have an 82% negative on the testing. Those people that are really sick, feel crummy, are sure they have it. 82% of the time, they don't. U.S. population, 330,621,157. We've had 746,625. That's 0.2% of the U.S. population has this illness, 0.2%. So far, the CDC has checked 5,000 people, and public health has checked 381,000 people. They've checked a grand total of 1% of our population. For example, if there were 100 people standing in front of you, all we are highly suspicious of being sick, you only test one of them. That's 1%. If you had 100 people, you only have tested one, and that tells you what you do is you, because you've tested the one, you send everybody home. So that's kind of how it works. We've had 39,083 deaths, and that's, again, about a 5% death rate. Worldwide, the death rate is less than 1%. We have a disparity between how lethal this virus is in the United States and how lethal it is throughout the world, because the rest of the world has gotten a significant jump on identifying those people that are really, really susceptible and really sick and sequestering them off. We've not done it. Now, we have for you today what you want to have in your home so that you don't have to run out, you don't have to scramble, you don't have to get emergency gear. You should have this in your home, enough supplies for all the family members that are in the home. I'm going to give you a breakdown, but we've got to roll because we got time. Masks. Yes, you need masks. Masks need to be fitted. There are two kinds of things that we're talking about here. We're talking about what are called surgical masks. Those are the masks that are either like the cup that fit over your face and have an elastic strap, or they are soft. They usually have one, the top of them has a wire embedded in it that it can mold over your nose, and it has the loops that fit over your ear. Those are surgical masks. They're designed to protect other people. They're not designed to protect you. They're designed for doctors and nurses who are treating patients so that the doctors and the nurses, in their speech, in their breathing, in their coughing or sneezing, do not contaminate the patient. They're not designed to keep the wearer safe. You get it? These surgical masks are not designed for the wearer. They're designed to keep other people safe. Respirators, on the other hand, are larger cups. Sometimes they are masks with canisters on the side. A lot of people are wearing these respirators, and you'll see them, and they have 3M on the front. A lot of the respirators have a little square plastic little door on the front of them. Those are to protect you and others because it regulates a much finer particle size. Okay? There are two main companies that produce masks, 3M and a company called GVS, Girl Victor Sam, GVS. Do not buy cheap, tawdry substitutes. These masks are made with specific cloths, specific techniques, and they filter ultra tiny particles. So they have to fit properly in order to work. All right. So that's what you need. You need gloves. There are three kinds of gloves you can get: vinyl gloves, latex gloves, or nitrile gloves. Vinyl gloves fit terribly. They leak like a sieve. You don't want them. If you do not have a latex allergy, if you're okay with latex, you want to buy latex gloves. If you have a latex allergy, then you want to buy nitrile. Nitrile gloves are great. They fit well like latex gloves do. They're significantly more expensive. You can buy sterile gloves. All these gloves, right and left gloves, are packaged in usually a paper package. They're sealed. They are stamped as sterile. You don't need sterile gloves. You can't wash gloves. Washing them, hand sanitizers, soap, oil from your skin puts holes in the gloves. They become worthless. Don't wash gloves. And you need a big bottle of really high quality disinfectant spray. Lysol spray works great. So there's the first three: masks, gloves, high quality spray. I'll give you the next three when we get together next time. Now, up next, you get to meet my buddy Mark, and he stayed away from dentistry for 20 years. He'll tell you why he came out of dental retirement and came to see me right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. He talks about what other dentists don't want to talk about. He creates custom plans for every patient because it's not about in-the-box billables. Time to think outside the box as a dental consumer. This is the Dr. Shoup Show. We've compiled years of resources at DTSradio.com. Listen, then hit the site. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup. Yeah, there's a place for us.
It's great to have all of you here. Thank you. And as you well know, I love this part of the program. It's my favorite. I get to introduce to you friends of mine from up at the office. And on the line with us is a really cool guy. I really like this guy a lot. Mark, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, Dr. Shoup. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great, my friend. Thank you very, very much. So how's you're a gardener. How's your garden doing?
Well, garden's looking all right. Just getting started. Have some stuff out of here probably in the next few weeks, and looking forward to the summer.
You've got a lot of time to do pruning, I guess, right?
At the moment, yeah.
And I'm sorry about that. So anyway.
Oh, it's all right. Hopefully okay. We'll be back to work here soon.
Oh, I hope so. Well, I was telling everybody, you had mentioned when you came up that you were involved in just a general conversation about dentistry one day with some of the friends or coworkers, and my name came into the conversation. Tell me how you came to find me. What did they say, and how did that all work?
Well, I was having a conversation. I work in the restaurant business, so I wait tables, and I get to talk to a lot of people while I do that. And throughout one of my conversations, I had mentioned to somebody the skepticism of going to a dentist because of my past with having braces and a bunch of horrific things that I felt happened to me when I was younger. And someone told me to check out Dr. Shoup. They thought that I might be a good fit. I had seen a naturopath doctor when I was out in California before I moved here a handful of years ago. And it kind of opened my eyes to a little bit different of a direction of dentistry that I didn't know existed. And I found your radio show, listened to a handful of shows, and did a bunch of research on you on your website. And I really liked what I saw and decided to give it a shot.
Well, I appreciate the heck out of that. And whoever it was that gave you the tip, I think if they're listening, I thank them too. That's a really cool honor, and I really appreciate it. So when you have to understand, yeah, Mark said Mark is a member. I'll dance around this lightly. Mark is a member of an incredibly highly skilled, highly trained, elite group of servers that has taken serving to truly an art form. And so his knowledge of customer service, his knowledge of taking care of the details, his knowledge of making sure everybody is taken care of is at this really, really finely tuned state. So for him to come in to me and how did I do compared to your ability to take care of people?
Oh, I love it. I think you're great. I think everyone on your staff is great.
See, I get that all the time. That's the best part for me. I love it because everybody says, yeah, you're good, but all of your other people are really good.
No, it's everyone straight across the board. I mean, which is a big accomplishment. That's hard to do.
It's something that we, like you do. I mean, you work on it, you practice, you train, and so forth, and we do the same thing, too. You had mentioned that you had kind of the orthodontics from hell. However much of that you're comfortable of sharing, I think the people would like to know because it was so powerful, it kept you away from all of dentistry for a long time.
Yeah, almost 25 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. So to the level that you can be comfortable and share, how did it leave such a mark?
Well, I actually have, you hear horror stories frequently of people with orthodontics. I actually had braces twice. So most of the stories that you hear are people that had them once. So I had the same horror stories as everyone else, except for I had them twice.
Oh,
I had
man.
A really nasty impacted tooth that I had to have oral surgery on when I was in high school to actually extract that from the roof of my mouth.
Oh,
along with having braces twice. So my teeth were really crooked. I had teeth that were behind other teeth that were actually pulled around those teeth so that I could have a full palate and a full smile. So I went to the dentist about once a month, and when I got my braces cranked, I mean, they got cranked to the point where sometimes I wanted to take a pair of pliers and pull them off.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just the most uncomfortable thing that I had ever had in my life or ever imagined. And like I said, it really just turned me off. And I just assumed that all dentistry was like that. And I didn't ever want to go back again. I didn't want to lose my teeth. And I wanted to have a good-looking smile, of which the braces did produce for me. But it was a huge turnoff. I had fluoride treatments as a kid, which I could not stand, and just makes my stomach turn over every time I think about it.
Did they do that old liquidy stuff that you put it in the trays and had to hold it in your mouth?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yep, it was like a gel, and you had to hold it between your teeth and watch the timer count down for 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh, so
I mean,
it was horrible.
Horrifying. I had to do it a lot.
Oh, Mark, buddy. Yeah, so that kept you away. What was there that got your interest? I mean, I know that you went to the naturopath dentist in California. What was there that got you to at least go there?
Well, I got introduced to the work of Dr. Weston Price. I don't know if you're familiar with Weston Price.
Oh, sure.
A dentist back in the 1930s. And he traveled about 100,000 miles around the world and trying to discover what the correlation was between people's oral health and their physical health, because he saw a lot of detrimental effects of people who had really bad palates, really bad teeth. And I thought that I could solve all dental problems through my diet. And I tried to do that for years based on the research of Dr. Weston Price. And then I found a list of more holistic practitioners through that organization that led me to a doctor in Southern California while I lived there. And I had about a 10-minute conversation with him, kind of like the conversation with you, which just blew the top of my head off that there was another way to dentistry that wasn't horrific.
Well, I see. I told everybody that you were a guy to do your research and you look things up. I mean, yeah, Dr. Price is pretty famous for being one of the pioneers in generating all of this whole oral systemic health connection stuff. We've happily, you know, with because of the science, taken it to a whole new level. But yes, he's the foundational guy of really us thinking about things in a much more holistic, much different way, in a much more conservative way. So, man, I am so glad that you found him and resonated with that. So that got you kind of back in the okay mode of being back into dentistry.
Well, that I got married and I have two kids. So I decided I probably needed to be a good example for my children.
What a good dad. You know? Nice job, man. Congrats. That's cool.
Thanks.
So once you came up, once we met, once we looked things over, did I reinforce your hope for the future with a different kind of dentistry? Or hopefully I didn't backslide you back into the orthodontics.
No, absolutely. No, we had a great conversation, had good connection. I really appreciate the whole, I guess, body, look over your body. Look at your face, look at your thyroid, and all these sorts of visual things that we did in our first appointment, I was just completely blown away by, because to me, that's the way that it really should be. And to see it in action was really, you know, reassuring that I was on the right path and that there are like-minded people out there.
Well, we certainly hope so, and we realized that a few years ago when I was looking at a patient, I realized, you know, those teeth are actually attached to the gums, which are actually attached to the bone, which are actually attached to their skull, which is actually attached to the rest of them. So I kind of got the impression that I wasn't just working on teeth, I was working on a person.
And so,
it made a big difference in my whole attitude about things. Mark, thank you so much for taking some time off. I really appreciate you sharing your story with everybody. I know there's somebody out there that's going to think, you know, this guy sounds like me. And yeah, rather than staying away from dentistry, I might give this whole new approach towards dentistry a try. You might have gotten somebody back into going to the dentist again that hasn't for a long time. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks, Dr. Shoup. Appreciate you. Hope you have a good night.
Oh, cool, man. I appreciate it. I'll see you at the office next time. Thanks, Mark.
Yes, sir.
All right. Bye.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. I will tell you, huge levels of frustration on my part because there's so much information. There's so much data. There's so many things I need to clarify and set the record straight on. It's absolutely incredibly difficult to cram it all into an hour. I need like a 3-hour show. But I promise you, I'm going to be bringing all this information to you while we are still able to serve you. If you have a dental emergency, if you are in pain, if you have something broken, don't put up with it. You can make things a lot worse. We're open. We're seeing new patients. We're seeing the emergency folks. Until world gets back up and running again, you can go back to your regular dentist. If you need help, and if you have an infection, if you have a problem, don't put it off. We're still there, able to help you. Plus, my folks need something to do anyway, so why not? And as you well know, we had to postpone our Kenya trip. We could get out of the country, but we couldn't get back in. So we're going to have to wait until August to do the mission trip to Kenya for KIND. And up at the office, we are absolutely positively taking all the precautions anybody would need to keep you safe when you come see us. So until you and I have a chance to chat next time, be sure to brush and floss.
Keep on smiling, 'cause when you're smiling,